recording. Yo, what up with it, everybody? What's going on? What is going on with y'all up out there today? I hope that everybody's having a fantastic day. I know that I am right now, man. So y'all is now tuned in to Sports with Trek and Chubby. Let's go. Y'all know what time it is up out here. Man, hit that like and subscribe button. Come for the ride. Yes, sir. Let's get up into it. So some lists just don't change. PFF has came out with a new college level for the Big 12 linebackers, and I wanted to share it, and I wanted to give it my thoughts, and I wanted to talk about it because, listen, sometimes some people may not end up on a list that should be on a list, and I'm about to talk about it, right? Because, and I'm going to get up into it. Let me show the list, and then I'll go through the list, and then I'll talk about other things. So no further ado, let's get that pulled up here. Let's get this list pulled up. Can y'all see that list? I'm not sure if you guys can see it that really good. Let me see. Make sure I can make it a little bigger here for you guys that's watching me on YouTube. Okay, that's not good. That's me. Okay, so that's better. So we'll roll with that one for everybody that's on YouTube. All right, that's, and everybody that's listening to me on podcast, go ahead and hit that review button. Give me 5 stars. Leave a decent review. You know, hey, talk back. You know, just let me know where you're watching me at, listening to me at. I appreciate it. Thank y'all very much, man. Let's get up into this. So, like I said, PFF came out with a college linebacker for the Big 12. This is for the Big 12. So, the highest graded returning Big 12 linebackers. Okay, so you have Iowa State's Caleb Bacon. Round of applause for Iowa State. Jalen Wester from Colorado Buffaloes. They just got him out of the transfer portal. They got him ranked at 84.5. Caleb Bacon is at 89.3. He is the highest ranking linebacker, according to PFF. Okay. Now, UCF's Xavier, I hope I said that right. Or can it be Ree Alexander, 84.1. Keandre Gant from Houston, 76.7. Devin Dale from TCU, 74.6. Utah Utes Lander Barton, 74.6. Ty French, 74.2 from West Virginia Mountaineers. BYU's Jack Kelly, 73.2. Colin Oliver from Oklahoma State University got him ranked at a 73 even. And I can't, I am so horrible with names. I'll spell it out. N-A-M-D-I. So I'll say Namdi O-B-I-A-Z-O-R. Zor, Obzor. Nabdi Abzor. I'll try to say, hey, look, okay. Yeah, I know, right? Because I don't know. I'm just horrible with names, man. The pronunciation of them sounds like he's, parents are from overseas and everything like that. I'll just say N-O from TCU. That's what I'm going to call him, N-O. That's cool. That's cool. We can roll with that. So this list in particular, by the way, people don't read the small print. Now, as you can see on this list, right at the bottom, it reads a minimum of 250 snaps in experience or whatever you want to call it, I guess. Okay. A minimum of 250 snaps. That's what they're rated on. Now, you got to pay attention to that because they also have their own podcast and they also have their own analysts and recruiters and guys of that sort. And this is from their eye test, I guess, and from their ratings, because it's not like they're bringing these guys in rooms, hooking them up to machines and actually testing these guys out, right? This is from what their opinion from, and they're pretty spot on. I'm not saying that they're not spot on. They're okay with some things, and then some things they're not. But when they're wrong, people just don't like to admit that. And it's okay to be wrong. Nobody's perfect. We already know that there's only one perfect being, and it's not us. So it's okay, right? But that's just not how people is. But anyway, some lists just don't change. So I just wanted to take the liberty and go ahead and tell y'all about some people that I thought should be on this list. Now, in other words, I want to talk about Baylor. The Baylor Bears, man. Baylor Bears. Now, I everybody knows that I'm big on Daquan Finn from Toledo. I'm huge on this guy. In the MAC championship game, he balled out. The other quarterback, he played at Ohio. I believe he's with Kurt Cignetti over in the Indiana Hoosiers now. And I just really like what I saw out of Daquan Finn. He's really a quarterback that can make the throws. He has all the receivers at Baylor. Some left. I have no idea why these guys decided to get up and leave, because Daquan Finn is going to change things. They lost some offensive linemen. They lost some beef. And they lost some defensive linemen, right? And I don't know if they replaced them yet. We'll have to wait and see. But for sure, they have a quarterback that can get it done. And not only will he beat you with his arm, Daquan Finn will for sure beat you with his feet, if nothing else. 6'2", I think they got him on like 204 pounds right now. He's a fifth-year senior. He's older, smart, mature, and I think that I just know that I'm big on him. A lot of people out there is not, and you have your reasons for that, and I have no problem with that being as such. I have no problem with that being that way, but the point is that he is going to prove some teams wrong. Now, will Baylor... If we can honestly now we got to play it both ways, right? If we can sit here and say that Colorado from 4-8, they can have a successful season, it would be in moving in the right direction if they win 6 games, right? Dave Aranda and the Baylor Bears has not been going his way for the past couple of years seasons. We know this, right? But will it be an improvement for them? Because they were 3-9 last year in the Big 12. A decent Big 12, a Big 12 that is highly underrated. And I must admit, even by myself, because I was wrong. I made videos on YouTube. I evaluated them. I talked about the Big 12, talked about the Big 10 last year, not really getting into the film the way that I have been after I say things. So before you go talking and just spewing out things, make sure you evaluate the film. And you're really looking at these teams firsthand, because if you're not, then you should just hold your opinion, because otherwise then you'll wind up sounding like me right now. And I'm okay with doing that, but I will come out and say that, hey, sometimes we're wrong. Even your favorites are. So a lot of the times you hear some of these guys saying some outrageous things, and you're like, no, he just didn't say that. And they would never admit that they said it. You have to replay it back. That's why I love those commercials with Dota Flag and everything. Challenge that. Run it back. Let's see that. Because film doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. Once you put it on the film, it just doesn't lie. You record it, you film it, it just doesn't lie. Okay? So, anyway, Baylor has a lot of... They have a few of these guys in their seventh year, sixth year, fifth year guys. And these guys have been with Dave Aranda for a couple of seasons. And I have no idea why people are just overlooking Baylor, as if Baylor is just going to just roll over and just take L's. You know what I mean? Like, they're just going to just roll over and just take L's. Like, honestly. And let me get this list out. I'm going to get this list. as you're watching on YouTube, because I had you gotta come prepared, right? Like I said, Daquan Finn, 6'2", 204, fifth year senior. Matt Jones, linebacker, 6'3", 246. He's in his sixth year from Odessa, Texas. Went to Odessa High, went to Paramount High School in Texas, in Odessa, Texas. Now listen, this is what I'm saying to you. He's in his sixth year. They don't have him on his PFF list. Minimum of 250 snaps, he absolutely played. Is he bad? No. Can't be. He's been with Dave Ray. He's been with Baylor since 2002. A couple of these guys been with them for multiple years. So they've been through the worst of the worst. And see, notice TCU come out of nowhere, 2021. Where did this TCU team come from? We seen them getting better and better. But then they make almost the national championship game. Of course, they get blown out by Georgia. We know this. And I'm just explaining this just to more go into the point of what I'm trying to make. This is what the Big 12 is based on. This is what the Big 12, this is why when you listen to people like Josh Pate, shout out to Josh Pate, by the way, man. What's up? He talks about how the Big 12 is America's conference, because in college football, you hear about the transfer portal and you see some of these teams going in the transfer portal and you say to yourself, they're not building their teams. Well, Houston just got a brand new coach. Now, some people say, oh, I don't want to hear that as an excuse, but that is. They want to bring their culture and they want to bring their guys. You know, some of their players want to go where their coaches are. That is an excuse. It's valid. They're starting over. They took over a whole team and now they want to bring their guys, their coaching staff, their players, bring that culture and set it in. However, Dave Aranda has been struggling in the Big 12. I must say that, and I said that before. But these guys stay with their teams in the Big 12. And this is why it just won't be a pushover. The way that we looked at Utah being in the Pac-12 is how multiple teams or several teams is in the Big 12. Okay? That's the equivalence of what's going on here. Utah Utes is so good because they built the culture. They retain players. Well, guess what? A lot of the Big 12 teams retain their players. They don't go anywhere. They don't go. They don't move. They don't go anywhere. They stay put. So that's what I'm saying. When you think about Baylor, you think about, whoa, that's just a walkthrough. If we have Baylor on our schedule, that's a walkthrough. Baylor is a team who will ruin your season. And if Baylor starts to believe in themselves because they win a couple of first games, they can be a dangerous team. Watch out. Absolutely. And I strongly believe this because I look and I'm pulling up the Baylor schedule right now as we're speaking. And I got to let everybody know that if you're just listening to me on like pod and you're not watching me, I got to explain that. Because listen to me. Baylor's football team is going. OK, look, we all know they're struggling, right? But let's just read off the couple of first games, right? So they start at Tarleton State. Baylor, okay, Texas. They'll probably win that game. See where they're at. Then they immediately go into playing Utah, a school that is just like them. I don't know about you, but September 7th, I would definitely be watching that game. Why? Because both of these schools remind me of each other. Regardless of what the public at large, now casual football fans, everybody who likes the big flashy games, you'll probably be watching something else. But people that are into college football, such as myself, following the game more, researching the game more, deep diving, learning, and every day I'm learning new things about college football. By the way, it's fantastic. I love it. All right. So, but what I'm saying is they're built almost the same. Both of these schools have pride. Now, I get it. Baylor lost some players to the transfer portal. The transfer portal has taken some players. And that's probably because of a 3-9 record. You're being, okay. Now, Utah, it's easy to retain players when you're winning. Utah went 8-5. They want to improve on that 8-5. They know it's going, Utah knows it's going to be tough. Even though people are picking them as a favorite to win the conference already. And it's kind of disrespectful, to be honest. I mean, when you look at teams like Iowa State, Oklahoma State, like those two teams are, to me, three, I can name three teams off top that I think that could be in the running for the Big 12 championship: Utah, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State. And I West Virginia's creeping in there. I'm not sitting here telling it, wanting to convince y'all that Baylor is going to, you know, magically win the Big 12. What I'm telling you is that Baylor could be a 6-7 win team in the Big 12. Now I know some people thinking, and some people out there saying, and so, but I'm okay to take that, and I'll eat crow, and I'll come back on here, and I will say, look, I ate crow. I told y'all that I believe Baylor could be, you know, improving on their record. They were 3-9 last year. I do not think they have another 3-9 season. I just don't. Not with their quarterback, Matt Jones, being that linebacker. He's not on this list, by the way. A 6-year senior, 6'3", 246. Been with them for years, in the system for years, with this school for years. Don't know how that happened. By the way, didn't they just grab up Steve Linton, the outside linebacker, 6'5", 239, another 6-year senior from Dublin, Georgia, went to Dublin High School? Didn't they just grab him? What are we? I don't know if the transfer portal took him or not, but the other outside linebacker, 6'7", 270, another 6-year senior, Garmin Randolph, 6'7", 270, outside linebacker. By the way, and it was another of a Prince Uga, Prince Oog, all right? I can't pronounce it. I've told you I'm bad with last names. Another outside linebacker. He's been with Baylor for years. Dave Aranda, he's been with Dave Aranda. I want to talk about an offensive lineman for Baylor, Kurt Deniker. Why am I talking about him? He's a 7th-year senior. 6'3", 337 pounds. Why are they coming back? Think to yourself. And then they just went and grabbed it from Texas State, I believe. They grabbed up Aston Hawkins. He's a 5th-year senior. Flyer. Yes, he's 170. Plays way stronger than that. Let's not sleep on that. They're probably going to bulk him up a little bit more, but he's a flyer. Played with the Texas State Bobcats. Shout out to him. 5'10", 170. And Tony, I told you I'm bad. Inawu. Did I get it right? Tony Inawu. Outside linebacker. 6'2", 249. These guys have been in the system for years. We're not talking young guys. We're not talking they transferred, pulled up. By the way, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Steve Linton did transfer in, and so did Aston Hawkins. They both were transferred in. But everybody else that I name have been with them in that system. They've been around. And even if they have transferred, they know the college football life. They know they are at Baylor to shine, to play football. Of course, they want to be noticed. Everybody's going to get their notoriety, especially when they go against the Colorado Buffaloes. And Baylor will be playing them September 21st, week before my birthday, I'm going to say. That is and then they just have a shot. They really have a shot to do some decent things. They got Tarleton State first, then they go to Utah, then they have Air Force, then Colorado, BYU the week after that, and then they have Iowa State, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, TCU, West Virginia, Houston, and Kansas. They have a very, that's pretty tough. But I well, on it, three game. I said I spoke too soon. Did I speak too soon, or do I just believe in what Baylor can do? Nonetheless, Baylor will be one of these teams that will ruin seasons. They just will be. I already said it. I can't recant. I can't take it back. 6-1. I said 6-7-1 team. They probably can do it. They got guys. As long as they can stay healthy, they have that maturity on the team in positions. They have them there. They have almost their whole offensive line coming back. They have a lot of guys there. Depth is what I'm worried about with Baylor. Their depth. Is their depth reliable? Will Dave Aranda and that team there, will his staff have those backups at Baylor ready? Because, yes, you think about West Virginia, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Utah, and those are all probably losses in Iowa State. Those are probably all losses. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, and Kansas are probably all losses. Other than that, every game is up for grabs with Baylor, if you ask me. And look, do the math yourself, but I believe it. I believe that Baylor can do that. I believe it. And I just had to talk about the linebacker, Matt Jones. Why is he not on this PFF list? But they said a minimum of 250 snaps. So remember that at the bottom. They're probably going to try to give him a low ranking, but you go ahead and you do the math on him. I believe he had, was it number two he had? Number two, Matt Jones. Check him out. Can't be that bad. I mean, they know the system. And maybe some people just didn't know this, but you talk about having Bo Nix on your team. Well, let's just say they have a couple of Bo Nixes on the college level at that. I mean, if you want to have fun with it, you could say that. But I'm just saying, all right? Like this is going to be a team who will ruin your season. If you do not come in here ready to play them and you do not respect them and you're just saying that's a walkover and that's how you feel, you're probably going to lose that game. Guaranteed. And before we get out of here real quick, I just wanted to talk about real quick, Angel Reese, right? So we'll scroll down here if you're on YouTube with me. So Emmanuel Ocho, they talked about the foul on Caitlin Clark, and Angel Reese had this. And I want to do this because I have women that support me and women that watch me that love Angel Reese and like Caitlin Clark, and they love the WNBA and they love women's sports. So I'm doing this particularly for y'all, right? And see, the thing is, when you say certain things, right, sometimes it's not how you say things, but what you said, and sometimes it's not how you said it, like I said, and it's not what you say, but how you said it. And sometimes it's not how you said it, but what you said. Does that make sense? That does it? I don't know. It's kind of, does it? Okay. But so when Angel Reese came out and she spoke on how she's also one of the people that brought a lot of attention to the WNBA, absolutely everybody knows that, but everybody's not giving her credit. And the fact that she said that, it makes it seem like, look over here too, I'm kind of jealous. And it's easy to perceive that from what she said to you know what I mean? To try to put her in that box to say that. And but we know that her and Caitlin Clark have this very competitive relationship, right? With each other. They were rivals in college. And they are now rivals at the WNBA level. It carried over with Caitlin Clark being the America's sweetheart and Angel Reese being the Bayou Barbie. And there you go. Got two going at it. So now, if one of them had to be a Barbie in the WNBA, I guess it would have to be Caitlin Clark. She'd be WNBA Barbie. And we would say Angel Reese is the brat doll. You know, I mean, help me out here, ladies. But I'm just saying that. And so she's having this villain thing going on and everything. And the foul, they want to suspend her for it. It was a hard foul. It was a hard foul. A basketball play, I can't rock with that. That's why I need some help explaining this. Because to me, when I seen the foul, I'm like, okay, she literally missed her, wrapped her arm around her, and pulled her down. Now, we in college, you're like, okay, we're playing a tough game. But Angel, y'all are in the pros now. Yeah, y'all are rival. Y'all play each other hard. But when you're a professional, I don't think that plays like that should be acceptable. And this is just my opinion and what I think. And the reason why I'm saying is because our bodies is what get us paid. Our health is what get us paid. Being healthy, being able to show up to these games is getting us paid, right? I mean, of course, if you're a Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, you have other endorsements, but a lot of other players don't have that, right? So yeah, we could play hard, but when it comes to intentionally fouling each other, like in that matter and so forth and so on, like, we got to chill out with that, right? Because, I mean, and some people like, nah, the sport, it be soft. But I mean, look, football is inevitable, right? It's but this is basketball, right? You know what I mean? Like, if you could block my shot, you were swiping for the ball, you missed the ball, but clearly she like clubbed her in the head. You know what I mean? Like, and it was like, I don't know if it was purposely, but the pool after that, you know what I mean? It didn't, like, she just like missed. Oh, I missed. And then pulled back and tried to pull back. Like, she came down on her, like, yeah, like, I'm pulling you. And that to me was the straw. To me, that was the hard part of the foul. And I'm like, all right, that pros. And it, but does it, is it jealousy? No, it's just competitiveness. I think they just compete and they probably do that to each other if they was playing pickup ball. You know what I'm saying? But however, y'all on a professional court and y'all are two professionals, the game needs both of y'all to work, in my opinion. I don't know why people are so ignorant to the fact that you can't have one without the other to me. It's like love and marriage. Goes together like a horse and carriage dish. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's what it's like to me. That's what it's like. Can't have one without the other. And when we start realizing that and we stop trying to put these two young women icons against each other, because I wouldn't take my daughter and put my daughter against your daughter. You wouldn't take your daughter and put my daughter against my daughter. If they're competing, they're competing. But when we're competing with each other, and I'm a parent and I got sports and my kids play sports. My daughter's competitive. She's a softball pitcher, sixth grade. She'll be going to the sixth grade. Shout out to my baby girl, my youngest girl. Okay. And she's a softball pitcher, and my son's a baseball player, my youngest one, my little baby boy. And they're competitive with the other teams. And after every game, parents come up to me. Would you know, your kid is so good. So is yours, by the way. You know what I mean? And, oh, well, we're trying to start this all-star team travel league, try to take up the, or whatever it is to, you know, compete for Williamsport, Little League World Series or whatever. And people want to do that. And they ask those questions. So all I'm saying is now that they're adults and it's upon them by themselves, right? Let's get along. You know what I'm saying? Let's get along. That's all I'm saying. That's it. And stop putting these women against each other. Appreciate them and what they're doing for sports. And they're trying to build something. And maybe they are. Who knows? Maybe Caitlin told her to do it. Maybe she told her to, right? We don't know. We don't know what they may be trying to work on or whatever, but I doubt if she would. But people are, and I want to say this before I get up out of here. I know I'm on for extra couple of more minutes, but naturally, there's nothing wrong for rooting for whoever you want to root for, right? There's just nothing wrong with that. But to root for somebody because of your color, it is, it's everywhere. We've seen that. It's everywhere. That's a given. It's just, it's everywhere. It's always been that way. I know growing up in my household, I've seen it. My eyes wasn't open until I was exposed to a different lifestyle, till I went outside of my neighborhood, started traveling, having friends from rural areas, country areas, blowing up Tannerite, doing stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never done stuff like that. Like, most we had was firecrackers, M80s, half sticks, dynamites. Tannerite, though, like, that was fun. But I'm just saying, by the way, like, we being exposed to a different lifestyle and different life and having different friends opened my eyes to different things. And I opened their eyes to different things. And we're not like our aunts, uncles, dads, moms, grandparents. But the thing is how many of us will stand up to them and tell them we're not like them? See, that's the problem. A lot of people ain't let their cojones hang yet. I know mine's a sagging like an old man's. But until next time, y'all make sure y'all hit that like and subscribe button, man. Make sure y'all tune in. Fans Point of View will be Friday, 8 p.m. Peace out. Y'all see the before, you see the after.